This is The Guardian.
I'm Noor Haidar, coming to you from Gadigal land, and this is The Full Story. Within hours of the first Israeli and US missiles raining down on Tehran, the Australian government released a statement backing the attacks on Iran.
We support the United States acting to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon and to prevent Iran from continuing to threaten international peace and security.
We are not participating in these strikes. That's the first point I'd make. The second is what I've said, is that the legal basis of this is for the United States and Israel to explain.
Other countries offered more cautious responses, while some condemned the strikes, as international law experts warned the bombing campaign was unjustified and unlawful. Today, political editor Tom McElroy on Albanese's support for Trump's illegal attacks on Iran. It's Monday, the 2nd of March. Tom, welcome back to Full Story.
Noor, thanks for having me.
Australia was the first country to explicitly endorse Donald Trump's bombing of Iran, releasing a written statement just hours after those strikes began on Saturday evening Australian time. How unusual is it that Australia came out in support when other countries took a more cautious approach?
I think it's notable, and it was certainly noticed by media around the world and by governments in other parts of the world. Partly, I think it was due to timing. Much of America was asleep when this started. Australia was obviously online. The PM's statement was quite strong. He linked the support for the bombings by the US and Israel to the risk from Iran's nuclear program, as well as development of ballistic missile capability and attacks that Iran had directed against Australia's Jewish community, including the firebombing of the Adas Israel synagogue in late 2024. Albanese was of the view that Iran had interfered in Australia and made attacks here, and he was satisfied that there was justification for military action against them by the US and Israel.
Tom, we'll talk about some of the criticisms in a moment, but today a motion regarding the US and Israeli strikes on Iran is being debated in Parliament. I wonder if you could take us through what has been said so far.
Yeah, so the opposition have put forward a motion in the Senate to debate this.
This chamber must be able to respond immediately, to put Australia's position clearly on the record, but more than that, to send a clear signal to our allies and adversaries and to give certainty to Australians both here at home, including obviously those who fled the Islamic regime.
They offer support to the United States and Israel for the attacks against the Islamic Republic of Iran and its hardline ruler, as well as for welcoming the death of the Ayatollah Khomeini at the weekend. There was some opposition to this motion even being discussed in the Senate. Labor was opposed to the motion being put forward by the coalition. It's quite heated in the Senate today, it must be said.
It is very selectively loud.
Senators, I just ask you to, I mean, the interjections are revealing, both from over here.
But the debate is being matched by discussion that's happening around the world. I think these are big international events, and they'll certainly have a flow-on effect to all kinds of things in the international sphere. We're already seeing it in security settings and with international travel.
Tom, why did the Greens back debate on this motion?
As early as Sunday morning, the Greens were out of the blocks criticising the government for supporting the strikes. They've pointed to international law and to close ties with the United States and Trump in particular.
Labor and the Coalition and One Nation are now the three war parties in this parliament. And they've never seen an attack by Donald Trump, an attack by Benjamin Netanyahu that they haven't wanted to back in and support.
I think they would want to bring this motion on in the Senate in order to make those arguments more forcefully and publicly and criticise the government for being in lockstep with Trump.
The Albanese Labor government rush to be the first country in the world to back in Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu's latest illegal war. And there's a reason that the foreign minister has refused to discuss whether or not this war is illegal. It's because Labor knows it's illegal.
The Greens have also asked questions about the involvement of joint facilities between the United States and Australia here in Australia, including Pine Gap. And they are likening this situation, this emerging situation, to previous conflicts like the Iraq War, where Australia has followed the United States.
Okay, a lot to unpack. Legal experts have said unequivocally that this action by the United States, by Israel, is unlawful, that the US has not had the approval of the UN Security Council. But the Foreign Minister, Penny Wong, and other senior ministers have dodged questions about that. You've been speaking to legal experts. What do they say are the ramifications of middle powers backing what they say is illegal aggression?
Yeah, it's a rough time for international law. It often has mixed support, but in the last 48 hours, it's really getting a battering. I spoke to Ben Saul, who's a UN special rapporteur and an international law expert, as well as Donald Rothwell from the ANU. Essentially, they say that Australia linking the support for these bombings to domestic acts in Australia, like the Adass Israel incident and other interference by Iran, is not really a justification under international law. They suggest that Australia would be better placed acting as a middle power, trying to put pressure on the United States, our close ally, our close defence partner, to respect international law and to seek authorization through the UN Security Council and through other means for this kind of action. I don't think Donald Trump has much regard for international law. He said as much publicly. And so it does put people like Penny Wong and Anthony Albanese in a slightly awkward situation. But I think that the speed with these things are moving, perhaps international law won't be one of the frontline concerns for very long, I think.
The Australian government has said that it wants to see a return to dialogue and diplomacy. That's despite the US hitting Iran while diplomatic negotiations between Washington and Tehran were underway. Negotiators involved in those talks had said that there was progress being made, that a deal was near. How has the government justified its position?
I'm not sure it's been very much challenged on that point. I note this morning on Monday, Donald Trump said that the Iranian regime had approached the United States for more talks. I think that was kind of boilerplate diplomatic language, something that the government would say in any kind of international crisis like this. But I don't think we have a sophisticated understanding really of what the government's position is beyond broad support. And I think there is, you know, serious concern, meaningful concern about the state of development of weapons in by the Iranian regime and, of course, breaches of human rights that have been so long-standing and so tough in Iran.
The US and Israel have sought to characterise these strikes as preemptive, despite Donald Trump previously claiming that the US had been successful in June of last year of obliterating Iran's nuclear enrichment facilities. Experts say that there was no imminent threat from Iran, but the Defence Minister Richard Marles this morning said that they support the US in preventing Iran from acquiring nuclear capability. There is an inconsistency here, Tom, isn't there?
Yeah, there was mixed assessments of exactly how much damage the original strikes last year had done to the Iranian nuclear program. And I'm sure that's something that Australian officials have discussed with their US counterparts since then. It's interesting that we're being so quick to line up with the White House, with the Trump administration. I think that might speak to Australia's foreign policy goals and the sensitivities that the government has, people like Richard Marles, as you say, with any gap between them and the Trump administration. They wouldn't want to be seen to be distancing themselves from the White House at this stage. I think other factors in the alliance are at play here. The eagerness to continue positive relationship with Trump in particular, and for bigger projects like the AUKUS submarine agreement and those sort of things to continue without interruption. The sensitivity around the relationship with Washington has been a key theme of the past few years in foreign policy here in Canberra, and it is a front of mind concern at all times for the government.
Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu have made no secret that they're seeking regime change. Is that Australia's position?
Government ministers who have spoken since this happened have hedged a little bit here. I think the concern will be what would come next if there is regime change in Iran, exactly what kind of government would emerge and what the flow-on effects would be for the region and the world. I think on the question of nuclear capability and on human rights abuses, the government here will be looking for significant improvements in both those areas. The challenge, I think, is that it seems like the bombings by the US and Israel are part of an air campaign rather than any other on-the-ground kind of activity. And I think experts will say that it's difficult to force regime change from the air. And, of course, we know from past decades, Western interventions in countries in the Middle East seeking regime change often go very poorly and lead to difficult and entrenched military situations for years and decades.
On that point, Tom, members of Labor Against War have slammed the Albanese government's support of Trump's strikes on Iran. How does the Albanese government's position compare to Labor's stance historically?
It's a good question. That group, Labor Against War, have been very vocal in criticising the government, including on support for the AUKUS agreement and ties with Trump. It must be said there isn't a great deal of criticism of the government within Labor, within the party more broadly, or the Labor movement. Mostly since Anthony Albanese was elected in 2022, there's been broad support, or at least criticisms have been mostly kind of kept down within the caucus and the party and the movement more broadly. But I think Labor Against War have been an exception to that, including their patron, Doug Cameron, the former senator who's critical of the government. There's been questions of support for US military activity within Labor for decades, but I think we've seen more recently that the two major parties here in Australia are both very close to the United States and eager to back in US positions. I think Richard Miles is a good example of that. There isn't much daylight between him and the Trump administration on really anything. So I'm not surprised people like Richard Miles would be out this morning talking about their support for this latest round of bombings.
We'll be right back. Australia backed those previous strikes back in June against Iranian nuclear sites. And at the time, experts warned that any Australian involvement could make us a target for retaliation. At the time, the government dodged questions about the use of the surveillance base at Pine Gap. What do we know now?
We know very little. It must be said that the government is very secretive about Pine Gap and other facilities that the US uses in Australia, and there are quite a number of them. Their routine answer to these questions is that they won't speak about surveillance and intelligence operations. I think that's very frustrating for a lot of Australians who would like to know how these facilities that are on Australian land are used. On the broader question of any involvement, Penny Wong was clear yesterday that she wouldn't expect any role for Australia. But I think the government will continue to be asked about facilities like Pine Gap and the role that forces here in Australia, intelligence officials here in Australia, are playing in these operations and whether facilities are being used.
I do just want to pick up on a point you've made there. The government has been questioned about whether Australian troops would join US and Israeli strikes on Iran. The coalition has offered bipartisan support for that. Does that look likely to happen?
No, I'd say it's unlikely. As I say, on Sunday, Penny Wong said that she wouldn't expect that to be the case. And I think if we got to that point, it would be a much bigger question for the government and for the federal parliament more broadly. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the government would be of the view that this isn't a conflict that Australia has a direct role in.
Tom, I certainly know many people, many Australians deeply connected to the region who've had sleepless nights watching what is unfolding in Iran, but also in neighbouring countries. There are travel warnings in place right across the region. What support or assistance is the government providing?
Yeah, it's a pretty dynamic situation. Penny Wong said this morning that there's about 115,000 Australians in the Middle East. The government's looking at what it can do. One of the immediate challenges for people on the ground, including in Iran, but in other countries that are being caught up in this, is airspace being closed. The government has stood up some Department of Foreign Affairs capabilities to provide assistance and for people to register in the event that they need help getting home. I think one possibility is repatriation flights. It's possible that the government could rely on commercial aviation once airspace does open. Richard Miles flagged that this morning. But in similar events in recent years, we have seen chartering of planes to bring Australians back to Australia safely. So I think contingency planning will be going on for that, even if the government does hope that the commercial aviation sector is the answer to these problems, helping people get out of harm's way once bans on travel are lifted.
Tom, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Noor. Great to be with you.
That was political editor Tom McElroy. You can find more of Tom's coverage of Australia's response to the US and Israel's bombings of Iran on theguardian.com, and we've linked to his latest piece on the Full Story page. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Karishma Luthria. Sound design and mixing by Joe Coney. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. Don't forget, you can subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts. And please leave us a review. I'm Noor Haider. Thanks for listening.